It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And how do kids get into college today? It is that time of year for prospective college students and their families. The competition for college admission is not anything new, but the process and the criteria are ever-evolving. So join in with your questions this hour about higher education and college admissions and what our admissions officers are looking for. What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234. What can your kid do? And if you are a astute student out there, you might have some questions too. And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email anytime, ideas@wpr.org. Parents and students, what do you need to know? Our guests are experts in the field. Joining us this morning, Ashley Hansen, Interim Vice President of Admissions for Carthage College in Kenosha. Ashley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Lee. Glad to be here this morning.
And Carrie Rissick joining us, Interim Executive Director of the Office of Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Carrie, thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here today.
And our third panelist, Karin Smith, is the Midwest Regional Admissions Manager for Beloit College. And Karin, I'm going to begin with you this morning. As mentioned, it's a busy time of year for prospective students and their parents. But what about these admissions offices at colleges and universities across the country? How's Beloit College handling the volume of calls and applications coming in right now?
Gracefully, is what I would say.
Well said. Well, yeah. I mean, what's the process look like for your busiest time of the year?
Well, for many colleges and universities, we have a November 1st application deadline. For many of us, we've been out in high schools and attending college fairs and talking with students and families who are amping up to getting things submitted. And so this is not new necessarily in the last several years. It's a delightful, frenetic pace for those of us on the receiving end. And I always tell students, once they've finally submitted their applications, the rule at my house is you have to celebrate with your favorite kind of ice cream before dinner.
Before dinner?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Are you kidding?
There are rules, and Karin has written them. It's dessert before dinner once you've gotten those college applications in. Carrie Rissick at the University of Minnesota started accepting applications in August, as I understand it. And as Karin mentioned, the first of three application deadlines, the November 1st one's coming up just next week. So how does your office evaluate the thousands of applications it's receiving?
Sure. Well, we at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, we admit for success and readiness to succeed in collegiate level coursework, ultimately to graduate, meaning that we don't just admit a student to admit a student. We use a holistic review process, meaning that we look at both the academic factors, so a student's courses, their grades, the rigor of those courses, test scores, if a student provides them, as well as a number of context factors in our holistic review, such as activities or employment, family obligations, all that a student has experienced so that we can fully understand their readiness to succeed at the university. And we've been practicing that holistic review now for over 15 years. We do consider students for admission directly into a college. And so when students apply to the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, they are in fact indicating their areas of interest, academic interest, and we're considering that information along with their academic preparation and all of the various context factors as we assess a student's preparedness for university study.
A holistic review.
That's right.
Ashley Hansen, Carthage College has a rolling admissions process, as I understand it. So how does that different approach affect your colleagues and student applications this time of year, if at all?
Absolutely. So with the rolling process, we are really trying to take away some of the stress with the application process. I mean, the families are well aware of all the deadlines and such that are out there around them, but our students can begin applying as soon as June 1. So when they finish their junior year of high school, they're in their summer, they can submit their applications, and we actually start admitting our students already in the summer. So typically when a student applies to Carthage, within 2 to 3 weeks, they will have that admissions decision. And so our goal is to really help streamline the process. And we know this is stressful. For those listening, you feel that anxiety as you're filling out applications and now you're having to fill out the FAFSA form. So we really want to make this process as easy and simple for families out there because there's a lot of information coming to them on a daily basis.
Yeah, it feels a little bit overwhelming, and the stress is something that I have heard time and again. So, Carrie Rissick, I'll ask you, is this stressful time of year for high school seniors and their parents trying to secure some acceptance at their top college choices, how concerned should undergrad applicants be about the acceptance rates that they see today?
Well, we, you know, do recognize that in addition to the excitement, that this is a very exciting time for students and families, that many students feel stressed about the college admission process. And that is very normal. We are here to support students in their college search process and want to assure students that there are many excellent universities in the US and many of them right here in the Midwest. I think it's important to know that, you know, college, regardless of what school a student picks or what major they pick, that this is a building block of their knowledge. When you get to a university, it will take some time to make new friends and learn the layout. But there are so many great options for our students. And, you know, their major doesn't define them. You can adjust, you know, at the university you attend. And, you know, there are just so many great academic and career resources to support students in this endeavor.
That's Carrie Rissick, Interim Executive Director of the Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Also joining us for this roundtable, Ashley Hansen, Interim Vice President of Admissions for Carthage College in Kenosha. And Karin Smith, Midwest Regional Admissions Manager for Beloit College. And Karin, are colleges with lower acceptance rates more likely to enroll qualified applicants and provide higher quality education? What do we see? Is there any correlation with lower acceptance rates and anything else in terms of quality of education?
If I were going to be honest, I would say that so much of the stress that we are experiencing in this process has to do with the press. What we know is that two-thirds of the colleges and universities in this country admit two-thirds of their applicants. And so I like to tell students that there are colleges, plural, out there for any student. And I think what becomes the stressor for families and for students is seeing what's being reported in the press and seeing that and being concerned that they might not fit. Any student who digs in with this process and really thinks about who they are as an individual and what kind of environment is going to best support their goals will find colleges that will admit them and love them.
I appreciate that very much. And Carrie Rissick, in addition to a student's high school GPA, what do you look for in an application to decide if someone should be accepted to the University of Minnesota Twin Cities?
Sure. We look, you know, in our application, we really look to streamline and make the application as simple and straightforward for students. We have a section in our application about you to help us learn about a student's basic information, in addition to the education section where a student will indicate the areas of interest, the majors they're interested in. We do also have students self-report their courses and grades. It allows for students to complete the entire application in one sitting. Students are, you know, self-reporting their courses and grades just as they appear on their high school transcript. And so in addition to the academic factors, we are considering a number of context factors, not just school activities, but what work experiences, family obligations, other life circumstances has a student experienced so that we can understand their whole situation in our holistic review of applications.
Ashley Hansen, this holistic review of prospective students, is this something that Carthage College looks at as well?
Absolutely, because we know that a student is not just a GPA or not just a test score if they're submitting their ACT or SAT. And at Carthage, you know, we educate a wide variety of students. So we just don't have just one type of student at Carthage, which I think is reflective of how they are going to work in the world after graduation. And so, but we look deep into the strength of their curriculum, you know, what types of courses are they taking? For example, for our direct entry nursing program, you know, how are they scoring in the sciences at the high school level? Because that may be different on how they do in English and math. And so some of it varies by major. But again, we know that a student is more than just that test score or GPA. And then we also get to know them as they visit campus. We have those one-on-one conversations, you know, and really have that conversation about how they can add to our campus and, you know, and what we can also give back to them as they look forward to life after graduation.
Ashley Hansen from Carthage College in our college admissions roundtable this hour. Also joining us, Carrie Rissick from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, Karin Smith from Beloit College. What do you want to know about what it takes to get into college today? What questions do you have about prospective students, parents, and what admissions officers are looking for on that college application and what they are looking for in a prospective student? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guests are three college admissions officers here to answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234. What does it take to get into college today, and what do you want to know about what they're looking for on that college application and that prospective college student? 1-800-642-1234. Carrie Rissick is Interim Executive Director of the Office of Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Ashley Hansen is Interim Vice President of Admissions for Carthage College in Kenosha. And Karin Smith is a Midwest Regional Admissions Manager for Beloit College. And I'd like to pose this to all of you because it is in the news. Next week, the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing opening arguments in a case that challenges considering race in college admissions. And that outcome could affect affirmative action policies nationwide. So how are admission officials watching these cases? And Karin, I'll start with you and your perspective from Beloit College.
What I would tell you about Beloit College is that 50% of our students come from more than 500 miles away from home. And we have an incredibly rich diversity within our student body. And so to the point of my colleagues on this phone, when we're looking on this show, the call, when we're looking at a student's application for admission, we're looking at a number of factors about the student. And so what the Supreme Court decides about race-conscious admissions is honestly something that I think many colleges and universities we're already preparing for and have already prepared for. It's in the news. It should be in the news. It's something that we have to consider in this country, which is also a richly diverse country. But it's going to be, for many of us, business as usual.
Carrie Rissick, the court said it's considering a pair of lawsuits alleging that Harvard University and the University of North Carolina discriminate against Asian American applicants. How is the Office of Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities viewing the Supreme Court case?
We are also, you know, closely monitoring the status of the case, and we'll continue to consider how any resulting Supreme Court decision affects our admission decision-making process. At the University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus, as I had mentioned previously, we've used a decision-making process based on a holistic review of applications for more than 15 years to achieve our goal of enrolling an academically prepared and diverse student class. We define diversity broadly, encompassing a whole host of factors, including economic background, geographic origin, age, gender, race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, talents, abilities, and beliefs. And our holistic review approach, you know, means that we don't make our decisions based on one factor alone. And we know that our work is working based on our high levels of retention and four-year graduation rates, among other, you know, notable student success statistics.
Ashley Hansen, Carthage College. Let me ask you the same question, because some of the schools have used the practice of affirmative action as a way to address racial discrimination against students who have traditionally been excluded from America's colleges. So how is Carthage College Office of Admissions viewing this Supreme Court case?
I agree with my two colleagues that, you know, we have been very proactive on this well before, you know, this case or other cases out there that we are hearing about. And this has been something that has been part of our work for many years prior. But again, we want to make sure that we are keeping it on our forefront. You know, Carthage is working very, very diligently in terms of cutting the equity gaps for our students, our BIPOC students. And so we are a partner with Moonshot for Equity, and we have put this work already into place and will continue. But we are already starting to see the fruits of that labor. We have been admitting women to Carthage for, you know, 150 years. You know, so like Carrie said, there's many different factors when we look at diversity of our students as well. So this is important. It's good for this to be out here, but it's also important to know that the schools like the ones here represented have also been doing this for many, many years.
And Ashley, if I could follow up with you, Carthage has not required ACT or SAT scores from incoming students, I believe, for years now. Why is that?
Correct. So we were went test optional right before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And because we know that test scores are not a true indicator of how a student will succeed, we know that GPA is a stronger area that we want to look at. And the SAT, the ACT, they have changed so dramatically, and schools are not able to help students prepare for that, especially when you look at schools with students of color in underrepresented areas, in settings, you know, urban settings where they may not have enough resources. So that we know that students will be successful at Carthage with or without that test score represented.
Karen Smith, I'm sorry, Beloit College has not had the ACTs or SAT scores as a requirement either, as I understand it. Is it for the same reasons?
We've historically been test optional quite a long time now. And I agree with my colleague. But test scores don't tell us is a student's potential for success in college. They existed historically because of the founding of the individuals who founded colleges and universities in this country. And what they tell us more than anything is a student's financial and educational background. And so for us to take let's talk about this too, right? So I happen to work in the state of Illinois that requires all public high school juniors to sit for the SAT. Now, the good news for that is it takes place during an academic day, but most testing dates are at 8 o'clock a.m. on a Saturday morning with 16 and 17 year olds. Now, who actually came up with that idea?
When you think it through.
Well, correct, right? And, you know, with my own children, I saw those test dates happen during homecoming week, the day before a big athletic event, you know, and you send them off and say, okay, please, please, please do your very best to pay attention to this multiple choice test for 4 hours. You know, it's just really when we can take the time to look at what a student has done over three and a half years worth of academic work in a high school and put ourselves in the position to understand the resources and the characteristics of that high school, we're doing a far better job for students.
Thank you, Karen. And Carrie Rissick from the perspective of the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. And we've just got about a minute here. As I understand it, the ACTs and SATs weren't required in 2021, and those test scores have remained optional through the fall of 2025. Might they remain optional? What do you see from the admissions office?
Well, we are test optional, as you mentioned, through the fall of 2025. As I've shared, you know, we have conducted a holistic review of admission decisions for more than 15 years. And so when the university shifted to a no test required approach in the fall of 2021, we were poised to do so. We, you know, consider a number of factors in our academic, you know, review factors, as well as all of the, you know, context credentials for a student in our review of determining a student's preparedness for university level study. So again, it's one factor of many, and students have the option to share that information with us if they wish to. In the last couple of years that we've been test optional, about 50% of our applicants are choosing to share a test score, and about 50% have opted not to share that information with us.
It's Carrie Rissick from the admissions office at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Also joining us this hour, Ashley Hansen from the admissions office of Carthage College, and Karen Smith from the admissions office of Beloit College. What questions do you have about your student getting into the college of their choice when the time comes? What can they begin doing right now from the perspective of the admissions officers who will be making the inevitable decision? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you are listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent today, and so much for the SAT and ACT, I suppose. When it comes to college admissions today, only being a high achiever in standardized test taking isn't going to cut it anymore. We have a roundtable of college admissions officers answering your questions this hour. So what do you want to know about what it takes in takes to get into the college of your student's choice? 1-800-642-1234, that number again. To join our conversation, 1-800-642-1234. Email available anytime, ideas@WPR.org. Our guest, Carrie Rissick, Interim Executive Director of the Office of Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Karen Smith is a Midwest Regional Admissions Manager for Beloit College. And Ashley Hansen is Interim Vice President of Admissions for Carthage College in Kenosha. And the Common Application is an application that allows students to apply to multiple colleges all at once. And individual schools do have their supplementary applications. But I'm wondering, how do you advise students to fill out these applications so that they can stand out from the stack? And Carrie, I guess I'll start with you. Is there any keys to the Common Application and any follow-up applications?
Well, we really encourage students. First of all, we are on the Common Application. We also have our own Golden Gopher application, and students can choose whichever platform is most convenient for them. It really doesn't matter to us. Students have that option of choosing the Common App or the Golden Gopher application. And really, we encourage students to bring their own voice to the application. We want to hear from students what makes you you, and to really bring that into the application. We don't require essays, but we do have a few open-ended questions for students to share more about their experiences and anything that they wish for the admissions review committee to know about their experiences. And again, really, want for students to share what's unique about them and bring their own voice to the application.
Sure. And Ashley from Carthage College's admissions office, how can you make an application stand out? Or is that something that's meant to flatten the stack?
I think that with the application, the student just needs to represent who they are. And with our application, we do not require the essay. We are on Common App, as are my friends here on this call. But like Carrie said, we really want the student to pick the application method that works best for them and to be able to just represent themselves. You know, with Carthage, essays or letters of recommendation are not required, but for some students, they feel they want to submit that supplemental information because it gives us a better picture. And that's great. But we don't want students to feel like that is stopping them from applying. And the Common App was created years ago, you know, trying to streamline the process for students, but sometimes it can also be a barrier, especially as schools have different deadlines, different requirements. So it's not really a one size fits all with the Common App. And so I do encourage students, especially here in the state of Wisconsin, to consider, hey, what if I go and looked at the school's application? Is it simpler to fill out? Is there less, need to submit additional material with it? But again, it really comes down to what that end user is most comfortable with.
Karen Smith at Beloit College, is there a way to make your application stand out from the rest?
Well, let me tell you how I read an application. So I read probably 500 to 600 applications each year, and I've done this for a long time. And a few years ago, I started reviewing applications differently because students get so stressed out about the personal statement or the essay. And I try to tell them, this is your opportunity to, in your words, tell us what's important to you, who you are, what you care about, whatever you choose to tell us. Each of us is unique and awesome in our own right. And so when I review a student's application, I figured out a way to review their essay before I see anything else about who they are as an individual. I don't know where they're from. I don't know where they went to high school. I don't know what their extracurricular involvement is. I don't know who their parents are. I don't know if they have siblings. I read their words first and allow that to set the table for me in regards to how I'm going to review the remainder of their application. And it's delightful. And so for me, the way that a student stands out to the same comments that my colleagues have offered is they offer who they are to us, what's important to them, and what they're going to bring with them to our college. And I think for students who take this advantage, take this opportunity, they're going to be admitted.
We're talking about applying for college, and our guests are admissions officials. That's Karen Smith from Beloit College. Also joining us, Ashley Hansen at Carthage College, and Carrie Rissick from the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities. And we invite you as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And educators encourage college-bound students or their parents to fill out this free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA. And I understand it's part of the stress that goes into planning for college. But should this be done before a student knows where they want to go to college? And Ashley, I'll ask you, what role does FAFSA play in planning for higher education?
Oh, I love this question, Lee, because this is where I'm most passionate about with my 20 years of higher education experience. I love financial aid. And yet, you know, not many parents are, they're probably, you know, cringing right now, but the message is, yes, submit your FAFSA form to as many colleges that you're interested in. And so please don't wait until you make that final decision. We know that students typically apply to 5 to 7 colleges. So please submit your financial aid information along with that. We, as colleges and institutions, we want to give you as much information that we can so that you can make the best decision for you and your family. And so you do not have to be committed to Carthage to apply for financial aid, to apply for scholarships, the same with many of my colleagues here. And so that is a big myth, is that you have to be committed to an institution before you continue through the process. And so many students miss out on financial aid opportunities because of those myths that they're dealing with. So yes, yes, yes. And I would love to have the conversation with any family out there, even if you don't end up at Carthage, how you can make higher education affordable. We offer workshops on this about financing a college education, not just a Carthage education, because we know as parents and family members and guardians right now, this is what you're thinking about at night and keeping you up.
The numbers from the Office of Federal Student Aid are worth noting. Only about 50% of Wisconsin high school seniors file for FAFSA, ranking us 38th in the nation in FAFSA completion rate. And about $3.75 billion in federal Pell Grant aid goes unawarded each year nationally because students don't fill out these forms. But affordability is a huge part of trying to figure out how to manage higher education. Carrie Rissick, Interim Executive Director of Admissions at the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities. We've got a long-time reciprocity agreement that allows residents in either state to attend public universities in the other state at in-state tuition rates. How do you see that as a benefit both for the institution as well as prospective students?
We have a longstanding reciprocity agreement with the state of Wisconsin, and each year we welcome great students from the state of Wisconsin to the University of Minnesota. Typically, students are completing that reciprocity application, in February throughout the spring of their senior year prior to enrollment at the University of Minnesota. It's a great opportunity for students to pay in-state tuition rates at the University of Minnesota as residents of Wisconsin. And we certainly welcome all students from Wisconsin to the university and, again, have that longstanding tradition of welcoming Wisconsin students to our campus.
Mm-hmm. I want to know about campus visits. I don't think I did mine correctly, and I would like to hear from each of you what a parent and what a student should be looking for when they decide to visit a campus. And Karin, I will start with you from the perspective of Beloit College. When a student visits your campus, what should they explore?
We're going to give them the standard things that students can get on any campus, which is a tour and an opportunity to talk with us in the admissions office. But we really encourage students. I like to remind students, I'm paid to tell them good things. I'm also an alum. I am. And I'm an alum of the school I work for. But I'm also way removed from being a student. And so we encourage students to sit in on a class in their area of interest. We provide faculty who will willingly talk with students about particular majors and programs. I tell students to look at their classmates and listen to what students are talking about. Get a copy of the student newspaper and see what is a hot topic or hot topics on the campus at that time. Talk to those individuals that are not paid to tell you good things about their school. We try to also provide an opportunity for students to see part of our campus separate from their parents, because indeed the parents don't get to come, it's the students. And so for them to be able to be on their own, which is what they're going to be if they leave home to go to college, and kind of see themselves and where they might fit at that particular school is important.
Apart from their family unit, and that's going to be, for many, a big step.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Ashley Hansen, my family's coming for a campus visit to Carthage College. What do I want to make sure I hit?
Well, you can't miss our beautiful lake view being right on the shores of Lake Michigan. But my favorite question to ask when a family sits down in my office is not what questions do you have, because they don't know what to ask yet. But my favorite question to ask is, what are you most excited for as you think about college? That question right there sparks in the eyes of the student, and it allows them to take ownership of the conversation and lead that. But I love when our students visit because they have one-on-one time with a current student. You know, we try to match up with major or from, you know, the area that they are from, their hometown. But just giving them different ways to see themselves on our campus. And then also one of the big things is making sure we address their concerns. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we're too big, we're too small, we're too urban, we're too rural. You know, letting them voice those concerns and let them know, you know, hey, that's something that we do here, but here's how they were able to, you know, look at that differently. And so I think just having those conversations really open and honest and letting the student lead you allows you to say all the great things about the institution, but also how they can add to that campus experience.
Before Carrie, if I'm coming up with my family to Minneapolis, St. Paul and doing a campus tour of the University of Minnesota, what should I make sure I hit?
Well, of course, you just mentioned it. We're located in the heart of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, just a vibrant community for our students to really bridge the academy with the community of our Twin Cities location. Definitely, we offer a classic Big Ten campus experience and encourage students to tour campus. You know, we offer traditional campus tours and visits. Our tour guides are current students, and We encourage the guides to share their real experiences and how they manage situations of all varieties. And then we also offer a number of virtual visits. So for students who are just thinking about the university and might want to check us out virtually, we have great tours online, as well as a number of different virtual visit options and events.
Carrie Rissick, Interim Executive Director of the Office of Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Also joining us for this hour, Karen Smith, Midwest Regional Admissions Manager for Beloit College, based out of Illinois. She's based out of Illinois. And Ashley Hansen is Interim Vice President of Admissions for Carthage College in Kenosha. What do you want to know before we're done about getting into the school of your choice or getting your student into the school of their choice? 1-800-642-1234. Conversation 1-800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and I hope you've been taking notes. I'm kidding. The podcast is going to be available later at WPR.org. And this isn't a classroom. This is about how your kids get into that classroom, or if you're a student, how you're going to go to the college of your choosing. Our guests this hour have been guiding us through the ways in which the college admissions process works today. And if you've got a question before we're done, get it in now at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Carrie Rissick joins us from the admissions office at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. Ashley Hansen from the admissions office at Carthage College, and Karen Smith from the admissions office at Beloit College. And got a message here from Christina Eau Claire, who couldn't stay with us, but is looking for some clarification about minimum standards to get accepted to colleges. There's a big difference, she says, between elite Ivy League schools and smaller public colleges. So what are the minimum standards that colleges should use, if any, today? And Karen Smith, I'll start with you. Are there minimum standards for students to get into Beloit College?
Sure, there are. And one of the things that I think is difficult for families and students is, and we know this in our profession, the word "it depends" a lot. What we look for in a student's application in order to ensure to the best of our ability that they can be successful in our classrooms and in our community is different from other colleges and universities in this country. And so that's a question that any student can ask any admissions officer at any school, and we should be able to answer that question for them. At Beloit College, we look for a very broad list of academic courses. Many of the students being admitted to Beloit have taken some honors and AP classes in high school. I tell families when they say, what's the minimum GPA or the average GPA? I say B average, because a B average at one school can look a little different from a GPA standpoint than a B average at another school. And so, you know, I think that, yes, we can give families that minimum of what's necessary in order to be admitted to our colleges.
Thank you. And from the perspective of Carthage College, Ashley Hansen, what does a minimum standard look like for prospective students?
As I mentioned earlier, is that we accept a wide variety of students. And so, you know, the average GPA at Carthage is between a 3.3 to 3.5, and we have both students on both sides of that. Because again, everyone is different and everyone learns differently, especially in the past few years with COVID. So, you know, we do have students that fall below that, and they will be highly successful. And, you know, that messaging, the press out there, as Karen mentioned earlier, is kind of dictating some narratives that aren't true, where, you know, unless you have a 4.0, you're not getting into college. That is not the case. There are wonderful institutions within the state of Wisconsin that have students on all levels who succeed, graduate, and go on for successful careers. So again, it that word depends comes back because everything is reviewed individually. It's, you know, just because you have a 2.8 GPA doesn't mean you're not going to college. You can find success at many, many schools. And that's, again, why that holistic approach is so important and not just looking at what those Ivy, what's considered Ivy League level.
As I mentioned at the start of the hour, I'm broadcasting from the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where we had students staying out overnight about a week ago or so to try to procure some off-campus affordable housing for the next year for a lease that doesn't start until the middle of August in 2023. Carrie Rissick, what are some of the questions that prospective students and their families should that they're missing, that they forget to ask, some of the aspects of college life that may be important to flag before they make those decisions? What do you see the questions that perhaps are left unasked?
Well, I think, you know, students, you know, we do receive a lot of questions about the admission application. And I think, you know, it's important for students and families to ask about the experience. You know, we want students to have a great experience at the University of Minnesota. And, you know, to really dig deep and get a sense of what the campus life is like, get a sense of the academic offerings. We, you know, have breadth and depth of course offerings and major programs. So really digging in to get a sense of the opportunities that are available and also the resources. We have a number of support resources for students across the campus. And so understanding the types of support services, for example, we have a parent and family program for parents and family members of our university students. And that's something that prospective students, parents, and families can be part of and learn about through our Gopher Family portal. So really digging deep and ask about what student life is and what the experience on campus will be like and how a student will fit in.
Thank you. And Karen Smith, I will end the hour with you because in addition to your long career of admissions at Beloit College, you've put three of your own kids through college. So how did being a parent affect how you talk to other parents?
Oh, my gosh. I had such empathy that I don't think I had before. What I tell parents is enjoy the ride. Enjoy the process. You are going to have multiple places in all likelihood telling you how awesome your kid is. And don't we all want to hear that? And so, you know, and here's a little trick, it's something to know. So you take your student to visit a college, and let's say it's 2 hours away, and you're involved in the process and you're there and you're listening and you're hearing what they're hearing. And then you get in the car to go home and you're like, all right, now we're going to get to debrief on all of this. Mm-hmm. Wrong. Because that student is either going to take out their pillow, they're going to put their headphones in, or they're going to start looking at their phone. And they have no desire to rehash it all in the car with you. So you need to be aware of that.
Process it. And I apologize because we are out of time for this hour, but I want to thank all of you so much for your perspective on college admissions today. Karen Smith, Midwest Regional Admissions Manager for Beloit College, who you heard there. Carrie Rissick, Interim Executive Director of the Office of Admissions at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities. And Ashley Hansen, Interim Vice President of Admissions for Carthage College in Kenosha, all with us for the hour. And I thank them. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Kate Archer Kent today, and you've been listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.